For August 16th, 2018, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 226. I'm Matt Cleave, senior developer at Lullabot. With me, as always, co-host of the show, senior front-end developer, Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Hey, we're in your wheelhouse today. We're going to be talking a little bit about some JavaScript fun, right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah?
With us, we have the creator of Gatsby.js, which is also the founder of Gatsby.js, which is a startup based out of San Francisco. We're going to find out more in a little bit on what you're doing there. His handle on Twitter is Kyle Matthews, and you would never guess, but his name is also Kyle Matthews. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, glad to be here.
Hey, Kyle, you're in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that where all tech people are?
Well, I mean, some of us, yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem a lot out here, yeah.
Also with us today to help me out a little bit, we have senior friend and developer at Lullabot, John Hanna. Hey, John.
Hey. How's it going?
Awesome. John is the creator and curator of JavaScriptReport.com, which is an amazing website and newsletter for keeping on top of the JavaScript ecosystem. And you're from who knows where in the United States, right?
That's right.
Are you moving to Florida?
I don't know yet.
John's in a car somewhere.
No, I'm actually packing as soon as we're done here, and I'm going to head down to Florida for a month.
All right.
The remote nature of Lullabot is pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. It makes life nice.
Yeah, John can be found on Twitter at jhanna with a pre-pen 2 underscores on that, it looks like. And also JS Report on Twitter with 1 underscore. You're like kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for username, John.
You're right. But John Hanna, it's just like a famous actor.
Yeah, so it was like the John Hanna with 1 underscore RA, or the J Hanna with 1 underscore RA taken.
It was taken. It was totally taken.
That's awesome.
Well, J Hanna, it could be like Jeff Hanna or.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I did what I could.
All right. You did what you could. All right. Well, let's kind of get down to it. So, Kyle, you're on kind of a mostly Drupal based podcast. For a Drupal developer who's not, terribly familiar with JavaScript, what exactly is Gatsby? Is it Gatsby or Gatsby.js? And kind of tell us, give us like the 10,000 foot overview of it.
So it's basically, I created Gatsby because I started doing, I started with like Backbone like 6 or 7 years ago, Backbone.js, doing kind of rich, JavaScript applications. And then when React came out, I jumped into that and really loved it. And anyway, so I've been using React about a year, and I kind of my love for React had reached kind of the fever point that I didn't want to do anything, use any other system ever again, sort of thing. And so I needed to build a website for a startup I was actually working at the time. And I was like, how do I use React to build a website? Because, normally, of course, React is used for applications, web applications. And that's not a great fit for websites because, it's slower to load and like you don't have like the SEO kind of like bot crawling aspect is like weird. And that sort of thing. So I was like, okay, how to like kind of like make React work for website? And that's where Gatsby came out originally. Was it kind of like had this like technique for making that process pretty simple and approachable.
So Gatsby makes websites.
Yeah, it's React for websites.
Yeah, React for websites. So it's a static site generator, right?
So
it can take in, it can ingest, X data from somewhere. And at that point, what generates React files or something like that in static? Like static HTML files with React in it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you install Gatsby, and Gatsby is a Node app.
Uh-huh.
And So you just do like npm install, you know, whatever, all the normal stuff there. And then you build the site, you run Gatsby develop, and it kind of has like a development server with like hot reloading and everything that makes it like really kind of convenient to build stuff. And then when you want to do a production deploy, you run Gatsby build, and that builds HTML files, and it builds a bunch of JavaScript bundles that kind of have, you know, because Gatsby does like what we call like code splitting. So it kind of like takes all the different code for different pages on your site and splits it up into little bundles so that when you load the site, you know, you're only loading the JavaScript necessary for the portion of the site you're then on, that you're on. And then like as you navigate it around, it's like pulling in, it's like lazy loading in different parts of the application.
When you built Gatsby, did you take any inspiration from any other existing projects or systems or anything like that?
Well, yes.
An F. Scott Fitzgerald novel, perhaps, or
yeah. I just had a feverish dream after, you know, a late night of reading Gatsby.
Or it was the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. One or the other.
Well, yeah, it's been a while now. Yeah. I mean, that's hard to answer because it's like, well, of course I did, because like, I mean, it didn't come out of nothing, but it's hard, it's not. Yeah, I mean, there's not any like one thing that was like the direct inspiration. It's kind of more of a conglomerate of inspirations. I mean, it took a lot of inspiration from kind of existing static site generators like Jekyll. The initial version of Gatsby that I released 3 years ago was basically Jekyll, but with React components. So it did the same sort of thing where you have like markdown files and, you know, whatever. It's since diverged somewhat from then. So it took a lot of inspiration from that. It also just took a lot of inspiration from just like the React world. Like the actual, my intention was that it should feel like you're building a React app, but it would produce a very fast website. So you have kind of like the really nice kind of development experience that you get when you're building a React app, but what it spits out is every bit a website. As far as like performance goes.
Yeah, for speed and performance, it sounds like were really kind of your biggest end goals.
Yeah. It's definitely speed of the site and like speed of like building process. Because I like to ship things and I like fast sites. These things I cannot lie. I mean, I've never seen the point of a slow website. it seems almost like, well, of course it should be fast. But actually that is an interesting point though, that like most website frameworks, like speed is a possible condition, if you will, of the framework. But it's not necessarily something that's done by default or even easy.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing, but it's not always something that was put in the forefront to begin with.
Yeah. So like static sites, just by their very nature, tend to be quite fast.
Yeah. Turns out Apache's really good at serving files. Like.
Right. It turns out it's super convenient just to be able to distribute your files all around the world on a CDN and have them, you know, like 5 milliseconds of latency away from, you know, your browser and stuff. So just the very nature of static sites, you know, solves a lot of performance problems. But it's also, I don't know, it's like, yeah, it's just something that I've always been interested in, is like what makes websites fast. And I've read a ton of blog posts and research on this and stuff. And so it was just kind of an interesting design challenge. Like, well, can you make performance like a first class part of a framework that, you know, it's not that your website can be fast, but it's more, it flips it on the head. It's like, well, your site can be slow if you do it sufficiently bad. if you mess it up sufficiently bad, like your site can be slow. But in under normal conditions, it's just by default super fast. It is the goal.
So can you run us through, like, can you run us through maybe some of these optimizations on why it's fast? You know, I know you have like service workers, purple pattern. I'm sure a lot of people don't know what those are. If you can kind of explain how they're used and maybe just give a brief overview.
Yeah. So when people talk about fast, there's like a few different ways you can think about it. there's one that's like time to first byte. You know, it's like how long does it take to get any data, you know, to the browser? And that's largely solved by putting things on the CDN because it's very close. And then the CDN has like static files that it just returns immediately. So that kind of solves the time to first byte problem. And then the next thing is like time to first paint. And that's largely around delivering like a very lean HTML file that has, you know, only the critical resources. You're only grabbing the critical resources, and hopefully as much of them are inlined so that, you know, the browser says, give me the site, and then the HTML starts streaming back, and then the browser's like, sweet, you know, I already have everything. I don't have to go make a bunch of JavaScript and CSS requests, you know, that's blocking in the head. It's just like, I got everything, and then it can render right away. So if you have like a very lean, streamlined HTML file, then your time to first paint is like, extremely quick. And so Gatsby actually does a lot of, so it'll automatically inline critical CSS in your head for you, which is, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, that'd be cool to do, but it's a lot of work actually to set it up. So most people are like, I'm just trying to ship this thing, and it doesn't end up happening. But because it's built in, you just get it by default. Unless for some reason you break it or whatever, you know, you're going to have like kind of that inline critical CSS, like really fast initial paint experience by default. So past that, there's also what can affect the perception of how fast your site is what's called like time to interactive. And that's when, you know, the browser UI thread is not busy anymore. Meaning it can respond to, you know, scroll events, it can respond to clicks, and so forth. So, you know, if you load a site and it's just like pegged, like the CPU is pegged, like, you know, everything is like jerky, you click on things and nothing happens. And as a user, you're just like, oh, this is super frustrating. And it's like, it feels slow and broken and dumb. And so the trick to solving that is basically to only, again, you know, load the critical JavaScript, because JavaScript is typically what's pegging the CPU. So if you can like, so what Gatsby tries to do is it tries to automatically split up your JavaScript so that, you know, on a given page, it's only loading the JavaScript that's actually necessary for that page. And so if it's only like 100 kilobytes or whatever, then, you know, the time to interactive is very fast because, you know, even low-end devices can go through 100 kilobytes pretty quickly sort of thing. And so that's kind of like, so Gatsby does a bunch. That's kind of like the initial quick sprint into loading your site, and Gatsby tries to make all that kind of that critical path for getting, you know, getting pixels on the screen and making your site, you know, responsive, like, you know, ready to interact with, as make that as fast as possible. So beyond that, there's a few other things that Gatsby does that have a huge impact on like kind of the perceived site performance. One of those is, where was it going? Oh yeah, like image loading. So, you know, you can have like, you know, so a common problem is you have a long page and then there's like a dozen or two dozen images on it. And if you just have all those images in the HTML, when you load the page, the browser is going to like, you know, kind of parse through the HTML and it'll be like, sweet, you know, this page wants me to go get 20 images, and then off they'll go and try to get them all at once, which can really clog down, you know, fetching additional things for the page. So ideally, you know, you're like lazy loading all your images so that, you know, you only load the actual, you know, you only load images that are actually in the viewport. So Gatsby has a React component that does that for you in a really slick way. Another part around image loading that is hard to do and often, you know, not done is just having what's called like a, you know, a placeholder. So like it's very, you know, kind of a common one is like having like a fuzzy, blurry kind of, you know, low resolution version of the image and then showing that immediately. And then when the image, the actual image comes in, kind of like fade in that. And so that's also something that, you know, Gatsby Image can do tied in with, Gatsby's data layer. So anyway, so there's a bunch of optimizations you do on images. Another thing that we do is that, you know, because it's an actual React app that's running, and it's all kind of client-side driven, Gatsby has a little runtime that loads with your site. And as soon as it loads, it starts saying like, hey, what page am I on? And what pages or what pages is this person likely to click on next? And then it immediately starts prefetching the resources, you know, the JavaScript and data for those pages. And so when you go, so when the user then goes to click on something, instead of you load a site and it just sort of chills until the user says, oh, I want this other page. We're actually like, hey, let's like use this time that they're like looking at something to go out and prefetch stuff. So then when they click on it, it's like everything's already loaded. And then like, boom, you just do kind of instantaneous page transition.
I've done my personal homepage/blog in Gatsby before, and I had a lot of fun doing it. But one of the coolest things was just looking at the network tab and going onto the homepage, and then I scroll down. And as I scroll down, I see all these, you know, network requests fetching, you know, JSON and JavaScript and stuff like that, and just pops in, and it's so cool. So, you know, if I go to my homepage, which is Herschel.com, it's the best website on the internet, without the S, just a scene there, and you scroll to the bottom, and you click on that bottom, it's just instantaneous. It just loads like probably in under a second, and that's pretty cool.
And this is like it's just something that people want to do, and it's kind of a. But it's like, this is again, like, okay, if we make performance, you know, a first class principle of Gatsby, we put in the effort to, you know, make these things kind of happen automatically for you.
Cool.
Hey, Kyle, I've got a question to kind of follow up on that with the service worker stuff. What do you guys do with that? And how big of a pain did you find the service worker stuff?
Yeah, service workers are weird. That's for sure. Yeah, so we've this is something that we think is really amazing kind of addition to kind of the web platform, because, you know, again, around, you know, like, how do you make websites feel fast? You know, so you just like look at all the different ways that people interact with websites. Like, you know, you load it the first time, you're clicking around pages, you know, there's big images that are loading. There's all these things that you can do to like make the site feel perceived as faster. So anyways, yeah, so service workers is awesome because people often go to a site and then they often return. And so, you know, and if they return, why should you have to go back to the server to get the site again if you've already been there before? And so service workers are like, hey, let's give you like a really smart cache that you can kind of programmatically control. And then, you know, then somebody comes back, you can immediately just serve the site from there, instead of, you know, making them go back to the server, which, you know, is often fast, but, you know, often people are also on their smartphones or whatever, on 3G or whatever, and then, you know, it's really slow. And so service workers does like a really brilliant job in solving that kind of like repeat visitor kind of experience. So service workers can be like really weird. It's just like a kind of a trippy programming model. It definitely has a lot of foot guns. You can dramatically break your site in interesting ways that are hard to debug or even know that they're happening. They could just be, you know, people all around the world are just, you know, anyways. But you don't want to just jump into it. But we do have a plugin called Gatsby Plugin Offline, which. Especially with we've done some improvements for the V2 version of it that I feel like now it's actually like really, really solid. It was pretty good in V1, but now I feel it's like it's really solid in V2. It's definitely, services are definitely worth investigating, and it's actually pretty workable with Gatsby. It is simplified because we are just like static files. So that does simplify the logic a lot. Of, you know, pulling stuff from the cache and just like serving it again. So definitely recommend service workers, but do your research and experiment first.
So how is service worker caching different than just like regular browser caching? You mentioned that the service worker, you can control it programmatically. Is it any quicker, or is that just it right there? The fact that it's programmatic, you can control it better.
Yeah, it's just that it's programmatic. Because it's programmatic, you can do like new things where, you know, before you couldn't basically serve. Well, yeah. So it's just like serving like you can serve a whole site offline. Because the service worker is like it's more of a proxy than a cache. Like proxies can act as a cache, but the point is that you can intercept every request that your browser makes.
Okay.
And then do whatever you want, which enables, you know, stuff like true offline support, which just the browser cache wouldn't work for that.
So what is the best use case for Gatsby? And so one of the things I heard is that, you know, we've been talking about static sites, and if you want to do auth, if you need like user profiles or personalization or whatever, that Gatsby's not, or any other static site is maybe not the right thing, but Gatsby wouldn't be like the right path. But then I've seen Netlify has some product that is like an auth for Gatsby. And then I also saw you have these like starter kits, and I saw one that had like auth for Firebase. So I was kind of wondering what the deal was with what's the sweet spot for Gatsby, and what sites should Gatsby probably not be used on, if any?
Yeah, that's a great question. Gatsby has heritage, you know, it kind of pulls inspiration from static sites, but we don't really think of ourselves as a static site generator per se. The best way to think about Gatsby is it's React for websites. So it makes using React like in kind of website use cases practical. But at the end of the day, you know, when your site is running, it's just a React app like anything else. So if you can build an application with React, with, you know, authentication, personalization, whatever, you can build the exact same application with essentially no changes in Gatsby as well. So it's just like if you're familiar with how to do, you know, JavaScript applications, then Gatsby is exactly the same as what you do there. So using something like Auth0 or Netlify's, you know, authentication service or Amazon's authentication service or whatever, basically, you know, you load, so you have a Gatsby site and it loads, and then there's a login button, and then they authenticate somewhere somehow. And then you have, you know, a JavaScript web, you know, you have some sort of token then, and then you can start making authenticated requests to an API and then render whatever you want in the client.
Cool. So there really aren't any like limitations like that for Gatsby.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, cool. Yeah, we really try. It's like, okay, what are the best ideas from the app world? What are the best ideas from, you know, kind of the website world? And like, how do we blend them together? Because to us, like the app versus site distinction is pretty artificial. It's more of a kind of a, you know, kind of a community path dependency technology divide, you know, that like websites came first, and then like apps were like this like offshoot that then kind of grew into its own full-blown thing. And then there's kind of this like mutual incompatibility between, you know, the tech stacks. And so Gatsby's like, hey, like how do we sort of reconcile them and bring them back together? Because at the end of the day, you know, we're just all shoving stuff on browsers. No.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Or at that's least a, screens.
Yeah, I think that's a quote I heard from you, Matt Cleave, that at the end of the day, we're all just concatenating strings together, yeah. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so like Gatsby's like, well, why don't you use the same tool to do app stuff and site stuff? Like, why do you have to learn, you know, multiple technologies? When, you know, there could be one tool that, you know, is a really great fit for all of them.
Makes sense. But Gatsby does connect into Drupal, WordPress, and other content management systems, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the big features that we added in the V1 last summer, which was the ability to have plugins which pull data from, you know, any system with an API. You can pull in data and then build your site with it.
It's pretty cool. We can talk about that a little bit later.
Cool.
So You mentioned you were talking about like Gatsby develop and Gatsby build and the developer experience with Gatsby. Uh-huh. Can you maybe, I don't know if there's anything else that you want to talk about? I mean, we're not in there. We don't have to edit Webpack configs or anything like that, do we?
No. Yeah. Yeah. The idea is that, you know, with Gatsby, we know what you're doing basically. And so we can have a kind of community maintained, really, really, really optimize, you know, Webpack config, Babel config, et cetera, you know, post CSS config or SAS config or whatever, that just kind of takes care of things for you. Cause we can make, you know, when you have a higher order tool, you can make more assumptions about how it's being used. And pretty much everyone's Webpack at the end of the day kind of ends up being the same. So,
cool.
Sure. We're talking Gatsby JS with Kyle Matthews, the creator of Gatsby. Kind of a little bit of a stretch here from the normal things we talk about here on the Lullabot podcast, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, but it's all about this web of technology that you end up picking and choosing for your projects.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of choices.
We're going to talk a little bit about the future of Gatsby, what's going on, as well as get a little further in depth coming up right after this.
Hey, it's Amber Matz from Drupalize Me. What's going on over there, Amber?
Hey there. We've got some new tutorials on the way on deployment workflows that's going to augment our series on configuration management. Tess Flynn has been working on those for us. Tim Millwood is working on a series of tutorials on content moderation, and we're looking to release those in the fall. Lullabot Education is working on a new site, reactfordrupal.com. Sign up for the mailing list to get notified when we release new tutorials. Finally, Joe Schindelar and I will be at Drupal GovCon presenting our beginning Drupal 8 theming workshop. It is sold out, but if you're at GovCon, please come and say hello. We'd love to say hi.
All right, welcome back. We're on the Lullabot podcast, and we're talking about Gatsby JS with Kyle Matthews, who is the creator of Gatsby JS. But before you did Gatsby, Kyle, I've heard that you actually have a history with Drupal. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so how did you escape?
Well, it's a multi-year process.
Have they been tracking you down, sending web checks, like knocking on your door?
No. I had kind of a leveraged escape passage, okay. I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so I started, Drupal was actually one of the very first programming things I ever did. Like back in 2006, I think. So I was like a sophomore in college, and Drupal 5 was in one of its last betas, and I was like, I don't think I'd ever done any PHP or MySQL stuff before, and so I kind of laboriously figured that all out, like how to get it going in Windows or whatever I was using back then, and then hours went by, and then I was like so excited, like when the Drupal Blue install screen finally Yay. Popped up, I was like, yay, this is so amazing, I'm a developer, sort of. Anyways, yeah, and so I started doing like side projects. Like some roommates and I, we built a T-shirt company, very classic college thing to do, I guess. Anyways, and so I built a little e-commerce site with Drupal. Can't remember which plugin I used. It was one of the early e-commerce.
So like UberCart or Commerce or one of the two.
Yeah, I think it might have been UberCart. I think that was like fairly new at the time, and so I used that. But that was cool, and I was like, sweet, like I built an e-commerce store. And we made, several thousand bucks. So definitely, definitely worked. And then I was like working with some professors, building like sites for kind of social learning purposes, if you will. So just like letting students, post basically blog posts, kind of, and then other students can come on and whatever. And I got really into that. I was kind of like, school sucks. It should be better. It's like rebuild it on the internet or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
And actually tried doing, so this was back in like the heyday of like the Drupal distro, stuff. And so I actually tried doing a little startup building like a Drupal distro called Eduglue, which is one of the, few installable ones that ever were built, I think. Anyways. And so that was pretty fun. And got really deep into Drupal with that. I also did Google Summer of Code with Drupal in like 2008, I think, whatever. Anyways, yeah, so did quite a bit back then and spoke at several Drupal cons. Then when Eduglue was starting to, I mean, I didn't really know what I was doing back then, so it didn't really have much chance of going anywhere. But anyways, I worked on it for a couple of years and was kind of losing steam. And I was like, okay, I really got to quit this because I don't know what I'm doing. It's not being successful. So I was like, okay, what do I do next? Because I didn't do CS and I didn't really... Oh, anyways, so at that point, I was like, I like programming. I like startups. So the natural step, of course, to go to Silicon Valley. And then I was like, okay, now I'm here. What do I do now? And Pantheon was like pretty new at the time. And so I'd heard about them and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty fun. And I was also getting really interested in just kind of like JavaScript web apps. Cause I was like, okay, like PHP is cool. And you can do a lot with server rendered stuff, but I was like, I could see there's like a ton of potential if you can like run like a real application in the browser. Cause then, you know, all the interactions have like instantaneous feedback and kind of feels very app-like once you're doing that. And so I was like, okay, that's like the future. I want to do stuff like that. And so I was like, okay, and Pantheon's doing really cool stuff. And so I kind of was like, okay, that'd be like a great kind of way to get into that because I already have a connection there and understand kind of the Drupal world, but also, you know, they're pretty ambitious in doing interesting things. So I could then have a chance to, you know, learn those skills. And so I went to Badcamp and talked to Josh and I was like, Josh, do you need a JavaScript engineer? And he's like, yes, we do. and so like, we got lunch and then, so joined there in like kind of late 2011, I think it was, kind of end of 2011. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so then I worked there, built out their dashboards and all that jazz for a few years. And then left there to try another startup. And then when I was working on that startup is when Gatsby came about. Then that startup failed, but then Gatsby did fail and kind of like went out of control. And now I'm doing like another startup with the Heart of Gatsby. But it is funny though. Because now all of a sudden like we're talking to all these like Drupal people again. And I'm like, oh, it's like old friends.
Yeah, we're coming back to get you.
Yeah. One way or another, yeah. But yeah.
But Gatsby does interface with Drupal, correct?
Right? Yeah.
So how would I go about and do that?
Yeah, so basically Gatsby has like this like data layer that lets you pull in data from anywhere and then hook it up to your React components and then kind of at build time, kind of combine the data and your components and like create the static site. And so it's actually pretty straightforward. So you just need, there's a Gatsby Drupal plugin that you install and add it to your Gatsby site. And then you just point it at, you know, a Drupal 8 site with the REST module installed. I think you need the JSON API module. I haven't looked at it in a little while, but anyways, the instructions are in the plugin, but you add that. And then at that point, it's pretty much automatic. Like you just, you start up Gatsby and then there's kind of like this like interactive console where you can write queries and like look at your data. And so at that point, you know, you'll have access to all your Drupal data and you can write GraphQL queries, what it's called. And then pull in the data to your components using that. I call your Drupal data.
That sounds pretty cool. So the GraphQL doesn't run at runtime. That's generated during the build step. Is that correct? Like the actual JSON or HTML? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, GraphQL, it's just queries. It's like SQL or whatever. And so we use that to, build time to know what data you need for each page.
Gotcha. That's that's pretty interesting. So I've used that. I don't have my personal site hooked up to Drupal or anything. I'm using Markdown, but when developing for Gatsby, you're actually even querying Markdown with GraphQL, which is pretty neat. There's the utility, a website based utility that's included with GraphQL, which is included with Gatsby. Is that called GraphQL or something like that? Is that right?
Yeah, GraphQL. Yeah. That's the intro. That's kind of the REPL, if you will, for playing around with queries.
Yeah.
It's super cool because it has like an autocomplete, and you can just like try out different queries and explore, you know, your scheme or explore the different, you know, ways of querying, and then you instantly see what data you get back.
Yeah, so it's like a really cool experience. Like for me, who has never played with GraphQL before, it enabled me to actually write queries without knowing what the hell I'm doing, which was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's super nice. Like when you're like building out like a new screen or something, you know, you can just sort of sketch. You can wireframe it out, and you go like, "Oh, what data do I need?" And then you just jump into GraphQL, and you can like poke around your data, and you're like, "Okay, I need this field. I need this field. I need this field." And you could just keep tweaking your query until you have all the data you need. And then you copy that over into your component. And then, you know, your component then instantly has all the data. And then, you know, off you go. So it's a really nice experience.
Are there any other plugins that might be particularly useful or cool in the Gatsby ecosystem these days?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of them now. There's like, so we have a plugin library on gatsbyjs.org that you can like browse and search all of them. And so I think last time I looked, the last day or two, there's like 375 now. And these plugins, they run the gamut from, you know, all the kind of like the source plugins, you know, that like connect to different data sources. And so there's like 100 plus now data sources that are supported, which is really cool because like oftentimes you're building a site and like, okay, you have like your CMS where your content people are like maintaining, editing content, adding content, but you often have other services that, you know, you might want to use in your site. So like a really common thing for companies is they have a job page and you're probably using some sort of like service like Greenhouse or, you know, to kind of track your open jobs and submissions and so forth. And so it's really easy to just add the Greenhouse source plugin. And then you create a jobs page by just querying all the open, you know, jobs from Greenhouse. And so then, you know, like your recruiter or whatever, all you have to do is you add a new job to Greenhouse, then automatically gets added to Greenhouse. And then, you know, you fulfill the job and it automatically gets removed from the website. So stuff like that is like really nice that, you know, you just have like different sources of truth wherever it makes sense to maintain that data. And then it all is directly, you know, drives your website.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. There's also a number of plugins for like standard, what do you call them, like React, plugins. Like one of the ones that I'm using for CSS is Emotion, which kind of lets you write like normal CSS syntax, but within JavaScript and all that type of stuff. Yeah. And I, at least last time I checked, which was probably several months ago, there were several different Gatsby plugins for various CSS and JS solutions and stuff like that. And they all look pretty straightforward to do.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot, I mean, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, like how many different CSS options there are these days. So all of them, you know, optimizing your CSS is a big part of what makes the site fast. And so, yeah, so there's plugins that people have made that kind of make sure that, you know, you're only pulling in like the critical CSS for each page and so forth. But yeah, what's cool though is that, yeah, they're plugins, and so you just drop it in and it just works without having to do too much, which is really nice. So there's also plugins for, you know, stuff like Google Analytics, which can be a little bit tricky, you know, if you're not. So one interesting thing about moving to Gatsby is it's like you can't think about the world in quite the same way as you do with like a server-driven website. So for example, like Google Analytics, it normally does like, it pings, you know, it says like every time the page loads, it says like, hey, here's a new page, like the new page. But when everything happens client-side, you know, there's not like an onload, you know, event or whatever that Google Analytics can use to, you know, do that ping. And so Gatsby actually has a on-route update event hook that you can hook into so that then the Google Analytics plugin, it just listens for, you know, on route update and then fires off, you know, to Google saying like, hey, here's a new page, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So there's stuff like that, you know, stuff for integrating with different like third party systems. But most of the time, I mean, most of the time, once you get past like, okay, where, how to pull in data, and you know, what sort of like styling option are we choosing? Most of the time, all you need is just React components. It's just normal React components. And building out the site is basically just, you know, either importing, like pulling in open source components or building your own, and then designing and building your UI. We try to make Gatsby as kind of like streamlined and behind the scenes as possible, so that, you know, most of the time it just feels like you're writing React components and, you know, as you would normally.
Pretty cool. So you also have starter kits. Oh, what's a starter kit? If it's not immediately apparent to our listeners, and like what types of starter kits are apparent and popular and stuff?
Yeah. So I mean, Gatsby is like kind of low level in that, you know, it doesn't make too many assumptions about what you're doing, which is awesome because then it's very flexible and very powerful, and you can use it in all sorts of different ways. The tricky part though is then if you're new to Gatsby, it's like, well, okay, I want to build a blog. How do I do that? You know, you don't want to like read through every, you know, all 375 plugins and figure out how they work and like which ones like are used together and whatever. So we have these starters that people can build out, you know, different Gatsby sites, kind of like half-built Gatsby sites that are aimed at different use cases. So it's like, hey, here's, you know, most of what you need for a blog. And so you can then take that and just tweak it to kind of, you know, fit whatever vision you need. But you don't need to figure out how to process Markdown. You don't need to figure out, you know, how, like, you know, Google Analytics, or you need to figure out, you know, how to add metadata to your site, you know, head and all that jazz that otherwise you'd have to.
One of the things I'd love to know about is your startup. So you uh-huh. It's based off of Gatsby, right? So uh-huh. You have this open source project, Gatsby.js. From what you said, when you were first creating it, you weren't expecting it to just explode and go nuts, and it has. And then uh-huh. Now you've got a business around it. I mean, right. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that all came to be and what you guys do?
Yeah, totally. So, so when I first started Gatsby, it was just like, hey, wouldn't this be fun sort of thing if it was easy to make a website with React. And as it turned out, you know, lots of other people wanted the same thing. And so it just started getting lots of contribution, lots of usage and so forth, to the point that it was like kind of hard to juggle like the startup and working on Gatsby. It was kind of like, I felt bad. I was like stealing, you know, startup product time to work on this like open source thing that was, you know, demanding more and more of my attention. But as I thought about more and more, I was like, okay, this thing has a ton of potential. And I knew that, you know, I could take it pretty far by myself and, you know, with the community help and so forth. But any larger project, it just needs a team of people behind it. It's just too much for, you know, one person to work on. And so once I saw that like Gatsby had the potential to kind of demand investment from, you know, a big team of people working on it, you know, the obvious next question is like, well, okay, you need some sort of business model to support that company. And so that's the goal with Gatsby Inc. is, you know, to make Gatsby everything it needs to be. It both needs, you know, a lot of investment, but also needs a business model to kind of support that.
So are you going to be doing maybe support for enterprise level Gatsby websites? Is that how it's going to generate money, or custom builds or something else?
Yeah. So support is what we started with. So we're, I mean, already have a number of support contracts and we'd love more. So listeners like you, please sign up. But I mean, we intend to be kind of a mix of support and product. We actually launched recently our first product, our first kind of cloud product called Gatsby Preview. And we did this 3 weeks ago now, I guess. Yeah. Anyways, the idea of Gatsby Preview is when you have a static site, one of the things that you lose out from compared to like a CMS is that you're editing content, and then in CMS you have a preview button. And you're like, hey, this is what my site will look like now with
this content. But with a static site, you know, you don't see that, you can't see the effect of your changes until, you know, you rebuild the site. And so with Gatsby Preview, we kind of eliminate that kind of gap in feedback. And so you can be editing content and with, you know, in a CMS and click preview, and we'll show you on our hosted Gatsby Preview service a kind of instantly what, you know, what your site will look like, just kind of just like normal. So that's something that is pretty hard to do technically and requires, you know, deep understanding of Gatsby and requires like cloud service and so forth. So I think it's like a natural product for us to offer to people, you know, using Gatsby in interesting ways. And we have a number of other kind of related products that we're working on that, you know, be really interesting to people using Gatsby in interesting ways.
The
preview thing sounds really cool. That is hard.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't mind me cutting in, I want to ask him another question before we close out. It's just like, I saw,
I totally mind.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well. But so, It's kind of about like the technical direction of Gatsby. So I saw this tweet from Ryan Florence, and he said something about like, I'm working with Kyle Matthews on putting Reach Router into Gatsby. Mm-hmm. So are you guys pulling React Router out, or is this an also or, you know, other?
Yeah. So, So Ryan is, you know, one of the original authors of React Router. And so this Reach Router is kind of a new attempt on his to kind of like clean up some of the design sprawl that he, you know, has happened in React Router, plus fix one of the long, you know, kind of one of the big glaring flaws of React Router, which is it's not suitable for screen readers. So we're switching to Reach Router basically to kind of get to kind of fix accessibility of Gatsby sites, because that's something that's really important to us.
It's cool.
It's very important. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's basically it's a pretty easy transition. I'm actually finishing up the PR for it right now, or this afternoon after this podcast. And since he designed both, and like React Router is quite mature, most design decisions carry over, and so most people, like 95% plus people, won't notice any difference at all. It'll just be, you know, it's actually slightly smaller. It's probably like 3 or 4 kilobytes smaller. And and now all your sites will be accessible, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you have, Gatsby 2.0 is currently in beta. Can you talk a little bit about like the new features compared to the 1.x version? And also, should new people be starting with that or continuing on the 1.x version or what?
Yeah. So 2.0 is almost out. We're actually hoping to get an RCL next week, maybe even the final version if things are feeling really smooth. We've been working on, V1 Gatsby came out a year ago, July. So just over a year ago. And yeah, so we've been working on it a while, and we're super excited to get all the improvements in it kind of out the door finally. Some of the big changes are, you know, Gatsby is built on a number of really popular kind of JavaScript tools. So React, obviously, but also Webpack and Babel. And so both Webpack and Babel have had major version releases since Gatsby V1. And so we're, you know, updating Gatsby to the latest versions of those. And that's super nice because there's, you know, more JavaScript features which are supported. You know, they're faster. Their output is like, you know, leaner. So just by, you know, moving from by upgrading to those, you know, Gatsby sites are smaller and faster and so forth, which is awesome. That's one of the, you know, the nice things about building Gatsby now versus maybe a while ago is that we can like leverage like these really mature, really awesome open source projects. And that just, you know, fantastic job at kind of making Gatsby what it is. So that's a big part of the upgrade. We've also like, you know, done some API tweaking. You know, we added like a ton of new APIs in V1, and Luckily, most of them really held up really, really well with all the, you know, the new plugins and different things people are trying to do with Gatsby. But there's a few that were like, eh, that wasn't quite right. And so better to kind of break APIs now than keep them around forever is our philosophy. So there's a few breaking changes around kind of APIs. But those are also, you know, mostly of interest to plugin authors. So generally speaking, it's not something you worry about as a site builder. And then the other big kind of push that we've been making is improving kind of the site build performance. Because Gatsby V1, it was perfectly fine up to around like 1,000 pages or so. But past there, just for a variety of reasons, site builds started getting slower and slower. And we've gone through basically all subsystems of Gatsby and done like a ton of profiling and, you know, kind of deep examination of different algorithms we're using and so forth. So that, you know, now like, you know, larger sites, like say 5, 10, 15, 20,000, are easily like 80, 90% faster for doing site builds, you know, which takes them from being not really feasible to use with Gatsby to being actually quite practical to build with Gatsby. Are kind of like very stream, like we have several benchmark sites now that we're using, and kind of our super, you know, stripped down, you know, hello world kind of Gatsby site. You can build a 100K site in like, I think the fastest we've done is like 88 seconds.
So when you say 100K site, that's 100,000 pages?
Yeah, 100,000 pages.
Wow.
In 88 seconds. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's with like stripped down, not a lot of plugins, correct?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So any real world site will be slower. It kind of depends how slow. Depends what you're doing, exactly how slow it'll get. But the point though is, yeah, it basically makes Gatsby practical for much larger sites. And post V2, we have like there's a ton more optimizations that we can do in open source. But we're really excited though about, because at some point though, it's just, you know, at some point, you know, Node is a single threaded application. It's a single threaded programming model. And you're doing one thing at a time. And at some point, you know, you can only make it go as fast as it can go, and you're not going to make it go any faster. But what we're working on, we've hired some like really awesome backend engineers, like cloud engineers, who were working together to build a kind of cloud version of Gatsby that can take all these like heavily CPU bound things that, you know, Gatsby has to do, like, you know, render pages and run queries and so forth. And we're going to make them parallelizable. So, you know, like, hey, we want to take like a million page site, you know, which would take kind of forever to do, you know, if you only had one node process, you know, doing all that. But what if you split that up across, you know, 10,000 different workers? Then that million pages won't take very long at all to build out. So we have a lot of things like that that we're working on that will take kind of stuff that, like, you know, our goal is basically methodically take, you know, the 20, 30 different things that slow down Gatsby sites, and then, you know, either eliminate them if possible or significantly speed them up or parallelize them in kind of our cloud published platform so that you can take any site and it'll be just really, really fast to build.
Nice. So do you recommend like a newbie coming in starting on 2.0?
Yeah, actually at this point it's pretty stable and it's a lot better, and we're not quite ready to like switch the flip to call it like actually stable, but you know, at this point we've had, you know, probably many dozens of people, if not hundreds of people, upgrade to V2. We've been very happy, and a lot of people, you know, kicking the tires on it, and relatively few problems have been reported, and like we fixed most of them. So at this point, like if you're jumping in, it's a great time to jump to V2.
How is the upgrade process?
We have a pretty extensive migration guide, and for most people there's probably it's probably less than an hour of work to upgrade. It kind of depends on how you built your V1 site. There's like, but even worst case, like you're looking at like a few hours of work to upgrade. That's which true. Is something that, yeah, something yeah. we're really pleased about is that, you know, the design has like successfully kind of encapsulated all these, you know, the Webpack and Babel and so forth. So even though we're making like major upgrades, you know, it, yeah, for most sites, it's pretty much the same thing.
Cool.
Hey, Kyle, I hear in an effort to get you back into the Drupal fold, you'll be talking at Decoupled Dev Days.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So what are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, basically like a lot of stuff we've been talking about here. It's just, you know, what is Gatsby and why it's a great fit for kind of building high-end websites with Drupal. Like how you can use, you know, how you can build incredibly fast sites using React and layer in all sorts of like interesting, you know, client-side stuff.
Right on.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think I'm just really excited about, you know, getting a really great integration with Drupal and Gatsby going. I mean, it's already very usable, but like stuff with like Gatsby Preview and Gatsby Publish will make it so that it's like very practical to like an awesome experience to build Gatsby sites in Drupal, Gatsby and Drupal sites.
Cool.
Which is just really fun, you know, having come from Drupal.
Yeah.
Mike, I did pull up your website, Herschel.com.
Was it pretty quick?
It's pretty quick, but I have one criticism. It looks like it's a Drupal site.
So I actually have like this cool like little Easter egg. If you're on a wide enough monitor and on like you go up like outside the content area and you click and you drag your mouse, it'll change colors, and so you can change that color to something else.
Ooh, I see it. Yeah, it's yellow now.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. When I was messing around with like CSS variables, Gatsby and React and all that type of stuff, trying to learn all these newfangled stuffs.
It changes hue from left to right and like mm-hmm. saturation. No, the other way. Hue is up and down. I see. That's neat.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
John Hanna, have you been a Gatsby user?
I've just played around with it. Yeah, it looks great, and I think. Seriously consider it for some of the client projects that we have when it's appropriate, but it looks like it'd be appropriate for a lot of cases. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you have to. So.
Yeah, I see on your site, Herschel, you've got eighth grade.
I'm an eighth grade champion. I am. That's my claim to fame in Murray Middle School down in Stuart, Florida. I won the eighth grade geography B in 1993, I think, like that. And it was a little traumatic because I should have won the whole middle school thing, because they asked me like, what direction is Portugal from Florida? And I said east, like that, and then they qualified me like that. It was complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am not bitter about that bullshit at all today.
If you were good enough, you could have met Alex Trebek.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I should have been. Anyway, we're kind of getting off subject, aren't we?
We are. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Kyle, for coming on and talking with us. And
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, it was really nice.
Great talking with you.